Welcome to Morning Soap. At Fusion Church, our desire is to see everyone attend church and hear from God daily through His Word. The Bible reveals God's responses to various situations, and through daily devotions, we can reshape our thought patterns, transform our minds, and become more Christ-like. Join us here every Monday through Friday as different pastors and leaders from Fusion Church provide insightful devotions and teachings based on the day's scripture. For the current soap reading plan, visit fusionchurch.cc/soap and join us as we deepen our understanding and relationship with God.
Good morning, Fusion Church. All right, it's Friday. What we call Freedom Friday is finally here. It's been a long week for some of us, but you know what? We made it through. We made it through. And we want to praise God and be grateful to Him. This morning, we are in Psalms 51. Let us begin with a word of prayer. Father God, I just thank you for this day that you have given us, for waking us up this morning and bringing us, Father God, into your presence. Father, thank you, thank you, thank you for all my brothers and sisters, Father God. I pray that you will speak to our hearts, Father, that it be you and not me. I thank you in advance, Father God, for what you are about to do. We give you the praise, the glory, and the honor, and we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. All right. You know, if you need to do that little stretch, do that little stretch. I know I definitely needed it in the morning. All right. Psalms 51. Let us begin. Psalms 51, verse 1. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquities and cleanse me from my sins. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge. 5. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden parts you will make me to know wisdom. Purge me from hips, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me hear joy and gladness, that the bones you have broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. 10. Create in me a clean heart, O Lord, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and behold me by your gracious spirit. Then I will teach the transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted to you. Deliver me from the guilt of bloodshed, O God, the God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing out loud of your righteousness. 15. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall show forth your praise. For you did not desire sacrifice, or else I will give it. You do not delight in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. These, O God, you would not despise. Do good in your good pleasure, Zion. Build the walls of Jerusalem. Then you shall be pleased with the sacrifice of righteousness, with burnt offerings, the whole burnt offerings. Then they shall offer bulls at your altar. Amen and amen. All right. All right. Not as big as the last one I read, But it's a good one to recap a little bit of the book of Psalms. You know, it's a book that was written by many different authors, and David was, of course, he was one of them. It is a book that has 150 chapters, but that means 150 at the Psalms, songs, poems, and prayers. That's what the book of Psalms is all about. And pretty much this particular chapter, you know, was written at the time that Nathan, the prophet, you know, approached David about his sins. You know, he approached David about his sins because David has sinned greatly before the eyes of God. So Nathan confronted him in 2 Samuel chapter 11 and 12. It gives you the whole story how David fell into this particular sin. And it was a big sin. It was nothing like, you know, you say something wrong, you know. It was a big and in verse one, you know, you could hear it in his voice. It says, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies, blot out my transgressions, blot out my transgressions." In verse two, he says, "Wash me thoroughly from my iniquities and cleanse me from my sins." You know, so David is using words to blot out, to wash, to remove, to cleanse, to have mercy because of the sins that he committed. Apparently at this time he realized what he has done. When Nathan brought, you know, the accusations against him, his eyes were open and he was able to see this. And the sins that he did, you know, it brought the penalty of death. You know, if you look at Numbers 15, verses 30 and 31, it says that the person who does anything prematurely, deliberate, premeditated, whether it is a bone or a stranger, you know, that will bring reproach on the Lord, he shall be cut off among the people. Cut off, that means removed. That means removed. Verse 31, it says, because he has despised the word of the Lord. He has broken the word of the Lord and his commandments, and he shall be completely cut off. So that, you know, that was the punishment. That was punishment. It would be separation. And David, you know, realized this, that he knew that he had to go before the Lord, and he did, and he confessed. And this is one of his Psalms that he wrote in this confession. But thank God that we, you know, that we live by grace. You know, it is by grace. In Hebrews 9:14, it says, "How much more shall the blood of Christ, through the eternal Spirit, offer himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God." It is beautiful that we can go to the Lord, that we can go to him, and that we don't have to feel that he's going to condemn us, you know, because when we go to him with an open heart, he's going to receive us. He's going to receive us. And David here, he is confessing. He's being open to the Lord. You know, like the first two verses alone, you know, "Have mercy, blot this out, cleanse me." That's true repentance. And that's the way that we should also go before the Lord. In verse three, it says, "For I acknowledge my transgressions." You know, so he was acknowledging what he did, his sins before the Father. He acknowledged that. He says, I've done wrong. And that is the beginning of restoration. That is the beginning of healing. Psalms 32, verse 5, it says, "I acknowledge my sins to you, and my iniquities I have not hidden. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquities of my sins." So David recognized his sins, and he went before the Lord. You know, this is an example, you know, to us that if we make a mistake, we should man up to that mistake. We should go before the Lord and we should confess to him what has taken place. We should be honest with ourselves and say, "Lord, forgive us. Forgive me for my transgressions. Forgive me for that bad thought. Forgive me for that bad phrase that I said. Forgive me for judging and condemning, you know? So, you know, so we need to do that. We need to search our hearts, you know, before the Lord, that way that we are in the right place. You know, in Psalms 139, verse 23 and 24, you know, David himself, because he was such a good writer, he says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Search me and know my heart, you know, and try me and know my anxieties, and see if there's any wicked in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting." So beautiful words to go before the Lord and say, "Lord, search me." I have to do that with myself, you know, because none of us are perfect. And we need to examine ourselves, make sure that we are in the right place, that we are right before the Lord, because something can happen, something could be said, or wrong thinking can take place. And we need to acknowledge that before the Lord and be honest, and be honest with the Lord. In verse 4, it says, "Against you, you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight." You know, so nothing is hidden from the Lord. He knows everything. He knows we cannot get away. Even when you're alone in the house, he sees it all. You know, so nothing is hidden from the Lord. And he says that you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge. So, you know, just because God will judge us. God will judge us. You know, David, you know, in this verse, he's saying that even in sinning against others, it is like sinning against God. That's what that verse means, you know, because it says, "Against you, you only have I sinned," you know, because he broke the word of God. He broke the word of God. And when we sin, and no matter what kind of sin, it's just like sinning against the Lord. And that's what he was saying there. That's why he, and in 2 Samuel 12, verse 13, you know, and David said to Nathan, "I have sinned against the Lord." And Nathan said to David, "The Lord has also put away your sin. You shall not die." So because of David, because look what he said, because before we were talking about the consequences of what David did. You know, he did things on a sneak, okay? That's what sin does. Sin blinds us. Sin blinds us from doing the right thing, and then we end up doing the wrong thing. And that's what David did. But now that Nathan spoke to him, he opened up his eyes and he saw, you know, what he has done, and he repented. And Nathan brought the word of the Lord to him because of the mercy of God. And he says, "You shall not die. You shall not die." And David knew that he deserved death. David knew because of what he did, his sin. But yet again, the law required death, but God is still being merciful. And that's something. God was still being merciful to David. And that's one other thing that David had. He had a heart for the Lord. He was not perfect. He made mistakes, you know, but we all make mistakes. We all make mistakes. But the bottom line is that if we make a mistake, we go before the Lord and we repent before him. Look what David said in verse 10. He says, "Create in me a clean heart, O Lord, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Renew me, O Lord. Cleanse me, wash me, forgive me." You know, because of true repentance, that's what you want. You don't want no hindrance. You don't want a wall. You don't want a barrier between you and the Father. You want to have a good relationship with him, an honest relationship with him. That's what David said. He said, "Search me, O Lord, if there's anything. There's anything." I say that prayer over myself. "Lord God, show me. If I did something unconsciously, forgive me," you know, and to be right with the Father. Acts 15, verse 9 says, "Holy Spirit can purify their hearts." He says, "and make no distinction between us, them purifying their hearts." So the Holy Spirit purifies us. The Holy Spirit fills us and gives us direction. And he strengthens us. The Holy Spirit would guide us. You know, the Holy Spirit is our teacher. You know, and he says that the Holy Spirit will lead you to all truth. That's what the Word of God says. Ephesians 2 verse 10 says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we shall walk in them." You know, so we are created, you know, and we are his workmanship, and we were created, you know, for good. We were created for good, and God has already prepared us to do this particular work. So we have an agenda before us. The word of the God, of the Lord says, you know, our days are ordered by God. So your tomorrow is already in his hands. You know, my tomorrow is already in his hands. And all I have to do is just turn to the Lord and say, "Lord, help me, guide me, direct my steps," and he will. He will. David, in this time and this prayer, in verse 11, he says, "Do not cast me away from your presence." You know, do not take your Holy Spirit from me. The Holy Spirit here is the presence of God, you know, the presence of God, that he was always, always worshiping God. He was always praising God. He was always playing his instruments. That was the one thing about David, you know, he was a worshiper, you know, and he knew the presence of God. Because why? Because when we worship and when we praise the Lord, his presence is right there. His presence comes down. And as the more that we worship him, the more of his presence we feel. And David knew that presence. He said, do not cast me away. Do not throw me away. And of course, the Lord didn't. Of course, the Lord gave him a second chance to repent and to come to him. In Romans 8, 9, it says, "But you are not in the flesh, and the Spirit, if indeed David had the Spirit, that you know." And when David worshiped, God's presence was there. So David knew all about the presence of God. He didn't want to lose that. He didn't want to lose that. So that's why he says, "Do not cast me away from your presence. Do not throw me away. Do not take your Holy Spirit from your presence." And in verse 12, he says, "Restore unto me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me in your gracious spirit." The joy of the Lord, the joy of the presence of God. There is joy in the Lord. Come on now. There is joy in the presence of God. If you're not feeling joy this morning, then something is going on. Something is going on. Something is hindering it. And we need to just to restore that and say, "Lord, help me. Help me in this situation that I'm in. Help me," because sometimes we become overwhelmed with what we're facing, overwhelmed with situations, overwhelmed with heartbreak. But when we turn to the Lord, you know, and we ask the Lord, "Lord, help me, strengthen me, guide me, fill me with your presence." I mentioned many times in the past when I've been away and I was deployed with the military, and I find myself, you know, even though I was with a whole bunch of people, I find myself by myself and saying, "Lord, where are you? I need your presence." And in that time that I will call upon the Lord, you know, he will always restore that joy. He will always restore that presence. And he gave me joy in lonely situations. He gave me joy in hardship, you know, and that's who he is. He is a faithful God. He is a faithful God. So this particular prayer that David was saying here, and you know, "Do not cast me away. You know, do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore that joy." God is faithful, and God will restore. In 2 Corinthians 3:17, it says, "Now the Lord is Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom." Come on. That we see, we go through this particular worship, especially in our Freedom Conference, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So we have to cultivate our relationship with the Lord. We have to acknowledge who he is. We have to give him the praise. We have to give him the honor. And a lot of times what sin does, it brings that separation. Sin will bring that separation. So that's why we need to renew ourselves, renew our minds. We need to turn to the Lord and, "Lord, help me in this situation. Help me, Lord, renew the right standing, Lord." And it says in Nehemiah 8:10, At the end of the chapter, at that verse, it says, do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. When we have joy in the Lord, when we have joy with his presence, you know, that's why David say, restore to me the joy of your salvation, you know, the joy of your salvation. So the joy of the Lord. So the more we worship God, the more we draw near to him, the more that we get closer to him, the more that we acknowledge him, because we're doing it to get closer to him. Guess what? That joy overflow. That joy is going to be an overflow, and that joy will take you. That joy will take you. Because I know in my situation, there have been times that I've been by myself. There have been times that I have felt abandoned. There have been times that I've been betrayed. And during those times, I learned to worship God and to praise God. And I learned just to give him that time. And because God knows us. God knows your heart, your thoughts, your desires, your needs, and your wants. He knows what you need before you even open up your mouth. He's just waiting for us to be able to speak out those words, to come before him and acknowledge that. And I used to worship God. And during those times, I learned just to trust in him. Like I said last week, sometimes I make up my own song. I'm not that kind of guy. I don't remember all these songs. I don't remember all the words. But guess what? I sing to the Lord and I worship God in my own way, in my own fashion. And I may sound like a fool sometimes. Sometimes, you know, I'll be out there and if I was running and I'll be singing, the joy of the Lord is my strength. And I'll make up my own music. Come on now. I'll make up my own rhythm and I'm worshiping God and I'm going, ooh, praise the Lord. And I'm just doing my thing. You know, people may think that I'm crazy. Sometimes I'll be in my car. Hallelujah. Urabashanda. You know, I'll be in my car and I'll be just worshiping God and tears coming down my face. People probably thought that I was a crazy guy, you know, in a car. What's going on with this dude? But I was just worshiping God, because where the presence of the God, where God is, there is freedom. And the joy of the Lord is my strength. And I will say those words and I will confess it to the Lord. And I'll have tears in my eyes. And guess why? His presence is there. That's why it's so important that we acknowledge who this God that we serve, who he is. Give him the praise, give him the glory, give him the honor, even when you don't feel like it, because this is not about feelings. Come on now. This is not about feelings. This is about faith. This is about trusting in him when everything else tells you otherwise. When you have a bad report, whose report are you going to believe? I'm going to believe the report of the Lord. He has the last say. He has the last word in every situation. So I'm going to trust in him. Okay, enough of me going off the book here. Okay, let's get back in Romans 15, 13. Says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of his Holy Spirit. Wow. That may the God of hope fill you with all joy. Come on now. With all joy and peace as you trust him. The more we trust in the Lord, the more that we acknowledge him, the more joy we're going to be feeling, the more of the overflow, the more peace, so that you may overflow with hope. That's a beautiful word right there. To be in overflow. You know what an overflow is? Is that it's, you're receiving so much of God's presence. You're receiving so much of his love that it's just going to overflow from you to somebody else. It's going to overflow from you to somebody else. And then you're probably going to meet somebody. You're probably going to hear something. And you're so much filled with the joy and the presence of God that you're going to have the words for that individual. You're going to have the words to encourage somebody else. Because, you know, when we go through something, it's because God is allowing us to go through it because he wants to teach us something. I learn in life, no matter what's going on, it could be a teachable moment. It could be a teachable moment. And I say, Lord, what are you trying to show me in this? What are you trying to reveal to me in this? It could be a negative situation, but guess what? God has a way of just turning that around. for our good. He has a way of just turning that around to show us his love, his mercy, his compassion. And then, and as he guides us and directs us in that direction, you know, we're going to see and say, okay, Lord, I got you. I see where you're leading me. And that is so beautiful. And verse 16, come on. Verse 16 says, for you did not desire sacrifice, or else I will give it. So back in the day, everything was done with a lot of sacrifices. Everything was done. You did something wrong, you go to the priest, you bring an offering, and you do that. But what happens is that sometimes, you know, people, they all try to take that as a routine. I messed up, here's a pigeon. I messed up, here's a goat. I messed up, here's this. And those are sacrifices. But that's not what God wants. That's not the sacrifice that the Lord is looking for. You know, and it says in Psalms 46, that sacrifice and offerings you do not desire. My ears you have opened, burnt offerings and sin offerings you do not require. God desires what God wants from us. It's our hearts. It's our hearts, you know, where our hearts are, you know, to touch us, to feel us. In verse 17, it says, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. These the Lord will not despise. Beautiful words. When we are broken before him, and who here has not been broken? If I look at you right now and I can say, have you ever been broken? You're going to tell me, absolutely. We've been through stuff. And especially when you get to be my age, been through a lot of stuff, been through a lot of storms, been through a lot of valleys. But guess what? In every single one of those valleys, guess who I found?
The Lord.
Whew, Harabashanda, there it goes. Yes, right. The Lord. Every single time I've been kissing the road, when I've been at the, you know, breathing in dust, because of where I'm at, guess what? He was faithful, and he was there, and he was guiding, and he was teaching, and he was uplifting, and he was restoring, and he was molding, and he was shaping every area of my life, of my heart, of my mind, every area he was working it, you know. Oh man, this is good. And that's why I learned that the more pressure that comes my way, the more my man, my inner man, the spirit man, wants to shout out hallelujah and wants to praise God, because I'm about to see a miracle take place. I'm about to see breakthrough take place. And that's why we need to acknowledge God, because when the pressure is high, it's because something is about to break. Something is about to happen. Something is about to change. And we have to acknowledge God, and we have to give him the praise and give him the glory and say, Lord, I praise you in my storms. I praise you in the valley. I praise you in the desert. And I acknowledge who you are. That's the God that we serve, because he is the God of the breakthrough, and he's breaking something for you even right now. Even as I speak, even as these words leave my lips, they are going out and they are producing and they are creating new things for us. So I got to praise God. I got to worship God, you know, because we have so much that comes our way that sometimes that wants to stop us from praising him. Sometimes that wants to stop us from even declaring who he is. But the more that we worship him, the more that we praise him, the greater the breakthrough, the greater the breakthrough of the Lord. Oh, man, that took me down a different avenue. Psalms 34:18, the Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and save such of a contrite spirit. A contrite spirit is a spirit that feels guilty. In biblical terms, you know, it's a broken spirit. It's a humble spirit with deep regret for what they have done. That's what contrite means. And God says that, you know, he's near to us. He's near to us. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. He will never abandon us. He is faithful and he is merciful. And this is what David is saying in this particular Psalms, you know, that we can turn to him. we can turn to him and he's going to hear us. He's going to receive us. It doesn't matter what we've been through. It doesn't matter what has happened. There's nothing that the Lord cannot forgive. He is faithful. He is merciful. You know, all we need to do is just to turn to him, just like David did, and he will help us. He will help us. In Isaiah 65, 24, it says, this is awesome. This is awesome. It says, it shall come to pass that before you call, before you open up your mouth, before you say anything, it says, I will answer. That's what the word of God is saying. Before you even open up your mouth, I will answer. And while they are still speaking, I will hear. While we are still speaking, that is awesome. That before I even think about it, God already knows what you're thinking. God already knows what you're going to say. He knows today, he knows the past, the present, and the future. He knows all things, but he's waiting on us. He's waiting on us to say the words, to declare the word. We are his mouthpiece extended. We are his hands extended. And he's waiting for us because, you know, it's one thing to know the word, but we need to step out of the word and speak the word and declare the word and acknowledge the word and be grateful and say, Lord, I thank you. I thank you for your presence, even when you don't feel it. I thank you for your love, even when you don't feel it. I thank you, Father God, that you're working it all out for good. You're working it all out for good. You're working it all out for good. One more time. You're working it all out for good. God is in control and he is faithful. And like the word here says in Isaiah 65, 24, while we are still talking, he already knows. He already knows. He's waiting. He's waiting for us to say the word. Say the word. To speak the word. To move out by faith. To decree and declare. You know, and when we do that, oh man, that's when the supernatural breaks through. That's when things begin to happen. That's when the ground begins to shake. That's just when we're giving him the praise, the glory, and the honor. And you know, and we're saying, Lord, I trust you in this, and I'm gonna praise you in this. And the Father, I can just see the Father. I always think, how what is the Father doing right now? What is he doing? And I'm constantly there saying, he said, oh, he got it. She got it now. You know, oh, look, they're stepping out. They're stepping out by faith, you know, because this is by faith. This is by faith. And we need to step out. We need to step, get out of the comfort zone. And we that we speak the word of God, that we declare the word of God, and we acknowledge him despite what is happening around us. We have to acknowledge him. And when we do that, it is unlimited what God can do. You know, God can open doors that have been closed, and he can close doors that have been open. He can make a way when there is no way. He'll make a way in the desert for you and for me if we just declare the word, if we just speak the word, if we just trust him in the middle of all this. You know, it is so good to read the word and of God and to see how God has moved even in David's life, because David, you know, he was chosen by God, but he made mistakes. And if anything, we all make mistakes. None of us are blameless. None of us are always, you know, we're not perfect. There was only one perfect being. There was only one perfect me, and that was Jesus, you know. But we can all have victory. Why? If we speak the word, if we declare the word, if we trust him, if we have faith to believe the impossible. Here in the Hernandez clan, you know, we've been believing in the impossible, and breakthrough has come in. You know, we're believing in God of the breakthrough, and we have seen it. We have seen it. And, you know, and I have seen God move in supernatural ways. You know, it was like last week along. I don't know if I share this, but I'm going to share it again real quick before I leave. You know, my kids got together and they did a little celebration for my wife. It was her birthday, and I didn't want to get involved with nothing. I don't want to know nothing, which I didn't. And they celebrated her birthday, and you know, and it blew her away. you know, because they did it. I was not involved. I didn't want to know nothing. That way I don't have to say no white lies or anything. You know, if I don't know it, I can't say nothing, you know. And guess what? You know, she was be able to get together with the family, you know, after 3 years that we've been going through this valley, through the storms and through the transplant and through, you know, the restoration of it and to the healing process of it. And we still got to be careful and we still got to make sure that I protect her, you know, and take this medication, take that medication. But anyway, we got together and you know, and we're there together as a family, as a group. And it was a time of healing. It was a time of the family seeing her, you know. It was such a blessed time. And I can only be grateful to God, because God, you know, 6 months ago, this wasn't happening. 6 months ago, you know, we were going through a rough patch. But you know, but God, come on, yeah. See, I get emotional. You guys always want to get me all emotional. Well, you know, we're going through a hard time. And guess what? And now we have a time of celebration, time of praising God, time of saying, Lord, I thank you that look at her. And she was laughing and she was having a good time with the kids and, you know, and all that. And I'm just grateful. I'm just grateful to God because, you know, we in the middle of the storms, we got to praise him. In the middle of the difficulty, we have to acknowledge him. In the middle of everything, because when we do that, we're telling the enemy, get behind me, Satan. I'm trusting the Lord. I'm believing in the Lord. And sometimes we have the pain, and sometimes we have the anguish, or sometimes we have the suffering, but he promised that he would never leave us nor forsake us. He promised to go with us through it. You know, as we walk through the valley of the shadow, that I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. You know, and we said those words and we had the victory. And Mama H, you know, she was having a time of celebration with the family, you know, and guess what? And then I took her to the what she loves the best, the ball walk, you know, and we spent an afternoon together with her. And we walked around and we talked and we held hands and we did all the stuff that, you know, we're supposed to do, you know, because of God, because of his faithfulness. So I'm telling you that what we're going through, what's happening, God is faithful. God is faithful, and he's working it out for you and he's working it out for me. And I know that I went over. I'm sorry. I just needed to share that. I needed to give you the report of what's happening over here. But thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your sacrifices. Thank you for always lifting us up, because guess what? Here we feel the prayers. Here we feel your prayers. And I am grateful to every single one of you for lifting us up. And that's why, you know, I can praise God in the middle of the storm. Because why? Because he is in the middle of that storm, lifting you and I up every single time. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. No weapon formed against you will prosper. No weapon formed against us will prosper. No weapon formed against us will prosper. Sometimes we think that they're winning. They're not winning, because God is keeping score. God is keeping score. And he already said that by his stripes I am healed. He already gave me what I needed. He said, I have given you all authority, decree and declare the word of the Lord. So again, here I'm going off my script again, and I know that I got to go because you guys got to get to work. You know, have a blessed, blessed weekend. Focus on the Lord. Praise him in the middle of the storm. Thank him. Ask him to forgive you if you have messed up. I'm not saying it just to say it, okay? I'm right there with every single one of you. We all mess up. We all lose it at times. Come on, we all lose it. So, you know, that's why I don't have no hair, because I already end up pulling it all out. You know, we all lose it at times, but God is faithful. God is merciful. And God will work it all out for you and for me. Let us pray. Father God, I thank you for my brothers and sisters. Father, I pray that you would just bless them. Father, I pray for their homes, their families, their children, their marriages, Father God. I pray for healing and I pray for restoration, Father God. I pray that you would touch them from the top of their head to the bottom of their feet, Father God. And if there's any lacking, Father God, I pray that you will fill, that you will restore, that you will heal, Father God. We send your healing word out, my Lord God. Your word always produces. So I thank you. I thank you in advance for every single one of them. Thank you for this day. Thank you for this day, Father God. I pray that you will be with us throughout this weekend and on Sunday as we gather together. Father God, I praise you and glorify your name. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. All right. I know I was a little bit long-winded this morning, but, you know, keep your focus. Keep your focus. I love you. Come on. That's my kisses for you guys. Give yourself a hug in the Lord. You know what I mean? Because God is good. Yes. I love being here. Love seeing you guys. Have a blessed weekend. The best is yet to come. Come on. The best is yet to come. Love you.